and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of dispensations, we're now looking at the dispensation of promise. And we've looked at how that God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But let me stop here just a moment and give a definition once again of what a dispensation is. The central idea in the word dispensation is that of managing or administering the affairs of a household. And further, when we look further into this definition, we see a dispensation is man managing or administering the affairs of God on the earth. As long as man is present on the earth, man will be an administrator of God's holdings. And this is not only for the saved person, this is for the unsaved person. The unsaved person is to be taking care of God's holdings while that person is alive and while that person is on the earth. Now, really, the only way that a person can really take care of God's holdings is to be saved, is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But notice this, that a proper study of dispensations places man on earth throughout eternity future as well, not only during the time that we live and the time of past and time future, but it will be in eternity future. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, it seems that, once again, man has gone against what God has said. It seems now that the beasts have dominion over us. The fish of the sea, we're only allowed to fish for a certain kind of a fish, over the fowl of the air. I know of instances where there's been an owl or something that's made a nest where multi-million-dollar buildings were being built. And specifically, I'm thinking of a hospital that was being built. And there was, an owl that had made a nest there, and they could not complete that hospital building until that owl had finished the nest and raised young ones. Well, instead of moving the owl, instead of getting it out of there, man was in submission to that owl. And that is not God's way. God said we're to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and not come under the dominion of anything that creeps upon the earth. We are to have dominion. Why? Because we are God's stewards, and we're here to do His job, to do the job He has for us. Note this, if you would, a dispensation is not man alone. A dispensation is not God alone. And some people believe that a dispensation is another means of salvation. Well, that's totally wrong. A dispensation is not a different means of salvation. Man has always been saved the same way and will always be saved the same way, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at the dispensation of promise, we continue on now. And remember, we've gone through the dispensation of promise, looking at the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I left off last time where Jeremiah asked the question in Jeremiah 15 and verse 5. He said, "For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest?" In other words, when Jerusalem, we think of it today as the Israelites are, as they are attacked, as Israel is attacked, do we have pity upon those people? Do we bemoan them that something is going wrong there? Do we have pity upon those individuals? Jeremiah asked that question. He says, "Who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem?" Well, I find the answer to Jeremiah's question in Psalm 122 and verse 6. It says, Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Who's to have pity upon Jerusalem? Who is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? We are. Those who have pity upon Jerusalem are those who pray for Jerusalem. They pray for the people of Israel, the people of Jacob. And those who bemoan Jerusalem are those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the peace not only comes from relief from physical warfare, but real peace comes for Israel in knowing Christ as Savior. That's the most important thing, is to pray that the people of Israel will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are Jews who get saved, who trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just as you and I have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. There are Jewish people who are now saved and on their way to heaven. There are Jewish people who have died in the past and they're now with the Lord because they have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, Paul had a burden for Israel. He had a burden that they would know Christ as Savior. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, he said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Paul was so concerned and he had such a burden for his people, for the people of God, that he said, "I would give up my place." What he was saying, "I would give up my place in heaven." He said, it's hard for me to understand the man who was responsible for having, written over half of the New Testament. Now, God was the author, but he allowed Paul to pen down the words. How that a man that was responsible as Paul the Apostle was, he said, "I could wish that I would go to hell." He said, "If my people would be saved, I would be willing to go to hell." That's what he's saying in Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. He had such a burden for the people of Israel that he was willing to suffer in hell for his people. I believe that's what that verse is teaching. And Christ had a burden for Israel to know him as Lord and Savior. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Well, my question is this: what burden do we have for Israel? And it gets even closer to home when I say, what burden do you have for Israel? Do you pray for the people of Israel? Do you pray for their protection? Do you pray for their prosperity? Do you pray that they would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You need to be doing that. God promised a blessing to those who would bless Israel. And if you want a real blessing, you need to start praying for Israel. Now, the real peace of Israel, when the nation has real peace, is when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, the millennial kingdom. That's when the real peace will come to Israel. Well, I say the real peace will come then. The real peace comes when they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They know him as their Messiah, and they recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and most of all, Savior, when they trust him as Lord and Savior. Well, the promise, we keep looking at the promise here, the birthright. We saw that the birthright inheritance bestowed on Jacob, and then we keep looking at the promise given to Jacob. And we see that this is the unconditional dual promise made to Abraham and now given to Jacob by God himself. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed." Now remember, the land that God promised is not come to pass yet. The Jewish people do not have all of the land yet, but they will receive the land during the millennial reign and then throughout eternity. Well, Genesis 28:15 goes on to say, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." We know that in 1948, I believe it was, that the Jews fled back into the land there, and God was bringing them back into the land that God, part of the land anyway, that God had promised them. He was bringing them back And I believe that you and I, as the people of God, we need to be praying for that country. Pray that God's blessing would be upon that country and His hand of protection would be there and bring peace to Israel. Well, notice this, that we're looking at the promise now, the unconditional promise that that God made. It's a dual promise made to Abraham and to Jacob. And this is a promise of also a physical greatness. Genesis 28:14 says, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south." In other words, they're going to be great in number. "And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." There's a promise again about all the world, all the nations of the world would be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. How is it? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The promised seed would come through this, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. The promised seed, that promised seed is Jesus Christ, the Savior. And once again, we see this. It was made to Abraham, this promise, and in essence is passed to Jacob and to future generations. Genesis 22:18, it says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Over and over again, God has promised blessings not only to the Jewish people, but to every person in this world who will trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this, of course, in Genesis 28:14, the last part of that verse. Notice I'm going to read it again here. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south." And notice again now, "And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You know, many times, even we Christians, we look to the Bible and we see how that in the book of Acts that the Jewish people said, "Let Christ's blood be upon us. Let his blood be upon us." And that was as a nation. But stop to think of this. And sometimes we say, well, those people deserve everything they get. Anything bad coming to them, they get it. They need it because they killed the Savior. They killed Jesus Christ. But, you know, they're still God's people. And it says here, "And in thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." We should look to the people of Israel and say, "Thank you, because through you the promised seed came. Thank you, because through you, through the promises that God gave you, through his unconditional promise that God gave you, the Jewish people, that we have a means of salvation, of going to heaven one day, because the promised seed came through you. And it's because of you that we can say, "Thank you, Jesus Christ, for saving my soul." Jesus Christ, the promised seed, came through the people of Israel, the nation Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, notice something else now. I get excited when I think about the salvation that Jesus brings, because he saved my soul, and I'm going to be with him one day in heaven. And I pray that you know him as your Savior, and that one day I'll see you there, and we'll be rejoicing together with the Lord as we thank him over and over and over again for saving our souls. And my concern right now is whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your Savior. Please tell him you're sorry for your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. Everybody has sinned. Tell him that you've decided, you've changed your mind. That means repent. That means that you've decided to go his way instead of your way. You know you can't go to heaven on your own, and you want him to come into your heart and save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ask him today to save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.